peace.
Let every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which will also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God.
In verse number 4, it talks about not every man look on his own things. What?
With the mic over towards you.
Oh, that's right. All right. Look not on the things of others. Look on your own things. On his own thing. It's good to look on your own things, but not just limit yourself to your own things. What does it mean to look on your own things? Any hands on that? What does it mean to look on your own things? Tanner?
It's your own welfare.
Your home, your children, your house, your husband or wife, whatever it might be.
Well, somebody made a big deal about it last week, so.
No big deal. You're free, free, free. And then the last hard part of verse 4 is the opposite of that. Verse 4. Not on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, what would that mean?
I thought about Vietnam. I was saying, I want what they have. It's caring about making sure they're provided for.
Right.
Looking out for your neighbor.
Being thoughtful of them, their needs, whatever they need to be. And it's important to see that. So not only your own self, but others is what we have to look out for. And things of others. And then in verse number 5, there's a sevenfold self-humbling of our Savior in these verses here. First of all, what does God say about your mind? Christian's mind should be what? Intent?
Should be like Christ.
Like Christ. Mm-hmm. My mind, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 6, he begins a kind of a mind work. What did the Lord Jesus do? And then what did he also do next? Pastor Dan?
Well, Jesus is put down for the man.
All right.
He's God. Mm-hmm. And so we'd be applying what we're saying here. Look not every man in his own things, but in the things of others. He wasn't looking at his own things, limiting these things, looking upon his own things, but he was looking on the need of redemption and salvation for his fallen creation.
He was in the form of God, deity. Without any body, but he had a spirit, a soul, and he was without bodily form. He was in the form of God, which was without a body like we have here at present time. But what did he think about? He thought of what? And what does this mean? Thought it not robbery to be equal with that. What does that mean? Tammy?
Well, because he was equal with God, because he was God, it wouldn't be robbery for him to claim that he was equal with God, because he is. Mm-hmm. He is God.
He is God. Always has been, from eternity past. Return to future. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Answer some of our questions. Glad to have you do it. So in verse number 6, in the form of God, that not robbery, meet with that. In other words, he wasn't trying to take over something that he didn't have it before. He always had, he was always in the form of God. It wasn't robbery. He was always equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. All three were equal, one with another, the Trinity. But now it's going to be a change. What kind of a conjunction is this?
Did we read it?
You're right, 4, 5, and 6. Okay, let's read 7, 8, and 9. Thank you, Anthony.
Sure.
Made himself of no reputation,
and took upon him the form of a servant,
and was made in the likeness of man.
And being fashioned as a man,
he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name.
All right, so there in
7,
right? What is the type of conjunction, this word, but? How is it used? Yes, Tara?
It's used to show contrast.
All right.
The difference from the previous verse.
All right. It's an adversative conjunction, contrast, but on the other hand, something different. What is the different thing that is happening here in this verse?
Well, he is equal with God,
right.
But he made himself of no reputation.
What would that mean? No reputation, made himself of no reputation.
Just a normal, no.
He was looking to make his name for himself.
That's right, after that.
He was humble.
Humble, that's right. And you see, even though he was God, the highest of anyone at all in the whole world, but he humbled himself and became a servant and became a different. He wasn't staying God-like. God, he's always God, but he made himself no reputation. And being the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal to God. What does it mean? He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Not robbery.
Well, we already talked about that.
Oh, we
talked
about that
already?
Yeah, we're
under 7
now. Okay. Oh, yeah, we're on the what? No reputation. What does that mean? Did he have a reputation? What does it mean, made himself a reputation? What does that mean? Okay.
No special status.
All right. And he didn't make himself to be someone that was special and high up. Mm-hmm. He just humbled himself, became a believer. No reputation. Now, what does it mean he took upon himself the form of a servant? What does that mean? Who made him a servant? Yes, after that.
I was going to say God chose to send his son.
Yes.
So he was born of flesh, mm-hmm. in the flesh.
That's
so
right.
So it was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ.
And, yeah, yes, John.
Yeah, to add to what Antoinette was saying, yes, the Father sent him, but he was also willing to go.
Yes, willing to go. And also willing to make himself no reputation. Yes, Antoinette?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh,
I just said yes.
Yeah, but right. Your hand was up to your head. I thought that was
cool.
All right. No reputation. But he took upon him what? What's your name?
The form of a servant.
The form of a servant. Now, notice he was God. He has perfect deity, and yet took the form, the likeness of a servant. Would that think that would be easy for most people to do?
Mm-hmm.
No, if they're high and mighty, it's hard for them to be a servant. Just some the form of a servant. And the last part of verse 8 and 7, you know, what does that mean? The likeness of man. Okay?
Well, he was made similar to man, but not exactly the same.
Okay, and correct.
He was born fully God, fully man, so he was born a human being.
Yes.
He had the complete majesty of being God,
mm-hmm.
God the Son.
He took upon himself the form of a servant, but also was made in the likeness of man.
Yes.
He was a perfect man, was he not?
Mm-hmm.
God came to us in the flesh.
Yes. Did the people on this earth treat him as God, or treat him as a man, or treat him as lower than a man? How was he treated? Bill?
Some people thought of him as a prophet.
Yes.
Some people thought of him as another human being. I don't think anyone really understood that he was actually God. Until we had the scriptures to clarify these things. In the time that Jesus lived, he probably astounded a lot of people with his miracles and with all the things that he did. And they probably wondered, but they couldn't really know. We have the words of the Bible, which clarify things for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great advantage over them.
Yeah. Someone else had a hand. Who was it for that? Was it infinite?
No, but I was just thinking what Bill was saying, and I was thinking when Jesus was in the boat and the disciples were fearful and he calmed the seas, and they were
mm-hmm.
saying, they acknowledged that he was able to calm the, who is this? Could,
mm-hmm.
Even the winds and the sea obeyed him, so they had a little, you know, experience there with God
mm-hmm.
Because of that miracle and all the other miracles, but they knew him better than, let's say, the average person who was just walking around or coming to get, you know, a piece of bread or fish or whatever.
Made in the likeness of man. What does that mean? In the likeness. Did he renounce his deity because in the likeness of man? He had both deity and humanity. That's the tenet.
He didn't have a sin nature.
No sin nature, that's right.
So he was only in the likeness, right?
In the likeness, no, that's right.
Right.
So, yes.
Well, look, that back goes slightly to right before that. Was it took about him the form of a servant. You know, we can read the scripture of how he was a servant to people, doing various miracles and so on and so forth, but the greatest act of being a servant he did for us was dying on the cross.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. And to that, I have your comment.
I don't know. I wanted to say he was fully God and fully man. He's
fully God, fully man.
Oh, and yes. He couldn't sin because he was God.
That's exactly
he
right.
He couldn't sin, like Tammy was saying.
There's a big word for what he was. He was theanthropic. Theanthropic. Theos and anthropos. He was God in a perfect deity and perfect humanity. Theanthropic. So, that's in verse 7. Lightness of man. And then in verse number 8, we read 8, did we not? Being found in the fashion as a man. What does that mean, the fashion as a man? First it says likeness of man, now the fashion of man. Is there a difference between those terms? What would it be? Excuse me, answer that.
He had the characteristics of man. He was flesh and blood.
Yes.
And that was the fashion of man. But if you're a human being, then you have flesh and blood, and that's what he had. That was the fashion.
Did he have a human father?
No.
No human father. So, in the likeness of man, God just performed that miracle, but he did not have a human father. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-256-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Yes, John.
If Jesus had a human father, then his blood would be of no use for atonement.
That's correct. Would John MacArthur agree with that?
Probably not.
Remember his belief in the blood?
He believes in the death.
Yes. It's the death, not the blood. The blood doesn't be any kind of blood, any kind of person. Very serious heresy. He also believes that we have to have what kind of salvation is called?
Lordship
salvation. You have to make the Lord Jesus Lord of your life.
Lord of your life.
Before you can even be saved. Absolutely impossible.
Not possible.
We can't do that. And so, the likeness, fashion, humble himself. Are we on 8 there? We did 8?
Yes.
He found the fashion, so he humbled himself, became obedient to whom?
God the Father.
God the Father.
And unto death.
Pardon me?
So unto death.
Yeah, unto death. That was
obedient unto death.
Obedient unto death.
That was the objective.
Yes. Even the death of the cross. So, in the garden, in John chapter 17, before the Calvary's cross, he and the Father discussed what this would be at Calvary, and he didn't say no. He went right forward to it. But remember the strong prayer to the Father in chapter 17 of John, and he was absolutely sure and certain he's going to go to the cross and be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Is that going to be three more verses, right?
We read through 9.
Well, read through 9, okay. Wherefore, what type of a part of speech is that? What does that bring in that other parts of speech do not bring in? They bring in something else. What does wherefore bring in?
Summary of what came.
Okay. In other words, because of this, point, wherefore, because of all that went before, so-and-so. Now, what is the so-and-so that the wherefore brings up? Because the Son of Man did all these things, humbled himself, being at death, death of the cross. Wherefore, what happened? Because of that, what did God the Father do in verse 8 or 9? Yes, that's right.
I think John was before
him. Not
John.
Right.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The Father highly exalted him and gave him a name above every other name.
See, because the Son was willing, Son was obedient unto death, willing to obey his Father, therefore God hath highly exalted him. That was the Father's grace and the Father's goodness, because he did humble himself. So he exalted him. Mm-hmm. Gave him a name above every name. The name of Jesus. Does the world think that the name of Jesus is above every other name? John?
Not answer that question, but I was going to add to what we were talking about.
All right, go ahead.
You know, we see in the Old Testament a type of praise in Solomon, where Solomon did not ask for long life and riches and all these things. Mm-hmm. Humbled himself, and he asked for wisdom so he could guide the Lord's people. The mm-hmm. Lord blessed him with all those things that he didn't ask for.
That's true. All right, let's go on to three more verses, verses 10, 11, and 12. Is that right?
Yes.
Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow,
of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth,
and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence,
work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
All right, so verse 10. Mm-hmm. That is the name of Jesus. What should happen? What should happen? Any hands on that? 10?
Every knee should bow.
Every knee should bow. And what kind of knees? What sort of knees or knee-like substances?
Both those in heaven and earth.
In heaven and things of the earth. And so these, the heaven things don't have knees, but the likeness is they're bowing, they're worshiping, and they're taking an under place to the Son of God and to God the Father. And what else in verse number 11? What about the knees? Now here's the tongue. What should be true of the tongues? John?
All will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
So it's important to have Lord Jesus, the highest Lord, the Master. We should be servants of His and underlings. And the tongue should confess, the knees should bow. What does it mean to bow? Excuse me, Anna.
Things in heaven and in the earth,
but also
things under the earth.
Okay, so what are some of those things?
It could be a reference to both those who are in heaven and those who are on earth and those who are in hell. They're all going to be bowing
knee
to the Lord.
All right, that's important. Verse number what?
Verse number 10.
Verse number 10. Yeah, on earth and things under the earth, that's correct.
Things in earth and under the earth.
In the earth.
So three places.
Yes. So in the earth, I guess it would be buried. Would it be buried in the earth or on the earth?
But they're under the earth.
Under the earth.
In earth, it would seem like it would be like on the earth.
I see, yeah. Right. The word in and on sometimes for a second. All right, so that's...
There's a hand.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
A reference in Revelation chapter 4 to the the bowing of the knees, and the tongues confessing in verse 10 and verse 11. Mm-hmm. For the 420 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Yes, so you're right about all these locations, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven should bow, things in the earth, and things under the earth. So all stages of humanity should bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 11, we talked about that, it's just down the tongue. It's a knee to bow, the tongue, what should the tongue do? What's the tongue do?
Confess.
Means agreeing, and positively agreeing that Jesus Christ is Lord. First to the glory of God the Father. His Lord, His Master. I'm going through the book by John, what was the name of, I think it was the name. What's the man that...
John MacArthur?
No, not John MacArthur. Okay. The one that wrote the 8,000 Things, Differences, and 350 Things. Zach Moorman wrote in that book on 350 Changes, and I'm going through that on doctrinal, very serious doctrinal changes. It's very interesting, some of these things. They follow, many of these churches and schools follow the wrong New Testament Greek text, for example. This is mostly New Testament. And the New Testament Greek text is from Gnosticism. The Gnostics are horrible. And I'm analyzing now some of these 356, they're basically doctrines, over 100 of them. And they just shred the doctrines of the Christian faith, because that whole Westcott and North type of text is based upon a group of manuscripts whose authors deny the deity of Christ, His resurrection, His bodily resurrection, coming again, all these things. So it's a terrible thing that they've done. And to have some people who are Christians, they claim to be fundamental Christians, to follow that wrong text. I don't think the people that follow that text, or say they follow that text, have ever compared it with the truth. I don't know what they did. Why are they following it if it's so wrong? But anyhow, I'm working on that, and hope to finish that up sometime. Who knows when? So that's in verse, what was it, 11?
Verse 11.
Every tongue should confess. What does confess mean?
Agree with God.
Agree with God. That, what if they should agree with? What should they agree with God about in verse 11?
That's it. Jesus Christ is Lord.
And Antoinette, I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
If that
hand could go over in front of that white thing, that's better. Okay, yeah. You're hidden.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Same thing as John said.
Jesus Christ is Lord. One thing that this West God North text do. When they come to things, in order to say nothing about them, they underline, which means they don't even appear. Sometimes they underline whole verses. They just wipe out these verses, and yet these people use this Westcott and Hort type of text. So that's verse 11. Every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, God, and Father. I see so oftentimes I go into this text, the word glory is underlined. In other words, it's wiped out. They don't believe it should be there. The word Jesus is underlined. They don't believe it. Christ is underlined. They wipe out word after word after word. Horrible. Well, we've done verse 11. Have we read 14 yet?
We need 12.
We haven't read 12 to 15. Let's read 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obtained, not only in my flesh, but also in my absence,
work out.
Without you, no salvation. What is God, which worketh in you, both to will and to do his
will. Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
Those are the three verses. So, we'll start with, is it 12?
12.
Okay. Again, wherefore, what kind of injunction is that, and what does it purport? Does it look back, look at front? In what way does it look back and front? Wherefore? Remember, we talked about the word therefore. I mean, one of the wherefore earlier, but what is this wherefore meaning? When you're talking, like you say, wherefore? Yes.
It's at the conclusion.
Right?
It's a conclusion of all that's come before.
That's right. Because of all this in the past, wherefore now you should do something about it. See, it's past now. What's up to you to continue the proper attitude and action after this? And that's in verse 12. It's called, he's what means my beloved. Where is he writing from?
In Rome.
Roman jail.
My beloved, he knows the Philippians. He's been in their town before preaching. So imagine a man in jail. Is that it?
Yeah.
That seems
so bad.
Go fast.
It goes fast on Thursday because we have half. Prayer.
Yeah. Well, I know. Have any comments or sum up what you want to say? Anything else you want to discuss before we close? No. Oh, and if not, John, would you close our word of prayer for us, please?
Hey, great, Heavenly.